Good morning, good afternoon and to everyone. Welcome to today's at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of US government stewardship of the INA function on Thursday the 11th of September at 14:30 UTC. On today's call on the English channel, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Van der Staatesini, Jean-Jacques Subrona, Tijani Benjema, Gordon Chilcott, Roberto Gaetano, Sam LaFranco, Glenn McKnight. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero. Apologies noted from Dev Anand Tiluksing. We also have Cheryl Langdonora, who will be joining us shortly. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today are Veronica and David on the Spanish channel. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel, and also to allow and to speak at a reasonable pace to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. It's Olivier speaking. Have we missed anybody's name in the roll call? It doesn't sound like we have. Okay, so the roll call is complete. And now I'll ask for the adoption of the agenda, where today we will be reviewing our action items, and then we will be having an update from Jean-Jacques Subrona and Mohamed El Bashir, our two representatives on the INA coordinating group who had the meeting in Istanbul, one of whom had the meeting face-to-face in Istanbul, the other one following the meeting remotely. And then we'll have a very quick follow-up on the, an update, should I say, on the cross-community working group charter for INA stewardship. And then finally we'll be working on our next steps, first looking at the different activity that has taken place in the different regional internet registry lists and IETF mailing lists, and also discussing whether we wish to be putting together a proposal, what kind of ALAC input we would like to put there. And I'll also be providing details in that part of the call about my activities during the IGF in Istanbul last week and the various meetings that I've had with various people. So going back to the agenda item number one, we need to adopt the agenda. Are there any additional business, anything that anybody on the call would like to add to this agenda? Seeing no one put their hand up, the agenda is adopted, and we go to number two, review of the action items on the last call, the 28th of August. And so there are two action items there. They're both complete. Tijani was to send the ESAC-friendly amendment to the INA ad hoc working group on the U.S. government transition of INA function working group mailing list. That was done. And Tijani was to ask the INA issues working group on the mailing list if the ALAC can support the friendly amendment from the ESAC. This was also complete. And so we can move now to number three. And number three is the update on the ICG. For this, we have Jean-Jacques and Mohamed. They were, as I just mentioned, in Istanbul last week. Or Mohamed was in Istanbul last week, and Jean-Jacques attended the meeting remotely. Let's hear from them as to what the highlights of the meeting were, and whether we need to provide input. What we need to do now. Who wishes to start, Mohamed or Jean-Jacques?
Whatever.
Okay. So
Mohamed, are you online?
I think Mohamed has just joined the bridge, the audio bridge. Yes, go ahead, Gisela.
Sorry to interrupt you. Mohamed is only able to stay on the call for 30 minutes, so you may wish to start with Mohamed. Sorry for interrupting.
Okay, thank you. I did not see this, so thanks. Let's have Mohamed then speak first, and let us provide his report as to what has been happening in Istanbul. Mohamed El Bashir, you have the floor.
And Olivier Giesler again, Mohammed has just disconnected, so we're just calling him back straight away.
Okay, well, that's not very helpful. Thank you, Giesler. Let's swap people around. Let's have Jean-Jacques, since Jean-Jacques has not disconnected. Jean-Jacques Sibrin, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. Hello, all. It's nice to be back with you. Waiting for Mohammed to be connected again. Perhaps I could offer this overview of what I saw as the results of the Istanbul meeting of the ICG. I won't go into any of the detail because I'm sure that Mohammed will give us an accurate account of that. By the way, I did attend the whole meeting remotely, if that's a technical word, but not to be construed as I remotely remember something, something. I was remotely connected, but I did attend very fully the meeting. So my first remark is about the way it was organized. It was good. The chair, Alisa Cooper, was also connected remotely. She didn't turn up in that meeting because of family commitments. But the morning session was chaired very well by Mohammed, and the afternoon session very well chaired by Patrick. So I think the most important thing which came out of that meeting was the timeline, and I would like to repeat this to you just in case some of you did not take note of all the dates. So I'll go through them one by one. There are eight steps. Nine steps. Step zero was coming up with the RFP for the input. The step one was communities to develop proposals and to send them to the ICG by the 15th of January 2015. The second step is that the ICG draft has to be ready by the 13th of March 2015. Step three, review of the draft response, and the target date is the 15th of May 2015. Fourth step is testing, and there the target date is 7th of July 2015. Step five is ICG. The final response is to be sent to the NTIA on the 19th of June 2015. A review of the final response on the 17th of July 2015. Step seven, proposal delivery target is 31st of July 2015. And hopefully, but that doesn't depend on the ICG, step eight would be the NTIA approval or reaction, at least, on the 30th of September 2015. So I'd like to underline that all these dates, which are dependent on the ICG, well, we will, of course, be working on that. Some of these dates are not entirely dependent on us. For instance, the testing phase, because we're not alone, and also that's step number four, and also step number eight, NTIA approval or reaction, 30th of September 2015. That will depend on domestic U.S. policy. It will depend on a lot of things. So that's for the timeline which I've read out to you. Another few remarks I would like to offer is that we also had approval or agreement on several things, on the charter, on the request for proposals regarding secretarial services. So now that has been published and we're already receiving submissions from interested candidates to carry out the secretarial function for the ICG. But I'd like to remind us that whoever is chosen, in fact, it will be paid for on the ICANN budget. I say this because just to keep a sense of reality as to the word independence, I think it should work out all right. And there was also an RFP for the contributions of communities. There was a lot of work done on this, and I think now with the various amendments, including the one that had been suggested on our part, thank you, Alan and others, that has been taken into account, and now this does not exclude anyone from sending contributions for the final draft. Whatever, hello, is someone interrupting? I insist on this because in this way, contributions are not restricted to so-called operational communities only. And in that way, at large, through Mohammed and myself, can contribute, of course, to this. Another remark I would like to make is that now we're a good 2 months into the ICG exercise, and you remember that very early on, the GAC had requested 5 instead of 2 seats, and the ALAC representatives were the first to approve of that and vote in favor of that change. But I must say that as a body, the GAC is inexistent in this meeting so far. There have been very valuable contributions by Manal from Egypt, but also from is someone interrupting? Kavus Araste. Kavus Araste, the representative of, I think, Iran at the GAC, and he, as an individual contributor, has made some very important remarks. I would just like to highlight the very great difference between the GAC as a body, as I said, almost inexistent, on the one hand, and an individual contributor from the GAC, the representative from Iran, who has been extremely active. Now, this brings me to a more personal evaluation I would like to offer to you. It's that over the years in the ICANN environment, I've heard things being said about individuals. For instance, it's very easy to crack a joke about Milton, for instance. But this neglects his real contribution, and I must say that in the ICG, he's certainly one of those who is making a valuable contribution. And in the same way, I've heard over the years some things which are not always very kind about this or that representative of the GAC. And this time, I must say that although he has been nitpicking and certainly not a convenient person, occasionally he has put his foot down on some very important principles. And frankly, I say this because I have felt occasionally quite alone in defending principles. And this he has done in wording, in the fact of saying that you cannot put in a draft that someone is wrong or someone is right. They are simply options, etc., some very basic stuff. And my last remark is about a sense that something important is... Hello? Hello? Is that someone interrupting? So I'll take that again. I have a sense of something important which is looming on the horizon, and that as we get along in work in the ICG and the little stuff is being settled, there's something much more portentous, much wider, much more important in the long run that is building up. It is that there will be a rift of opinion among members of the ICG as to the limits we should impose upon ourselves to our plan. In other words, for instance, the debate these past 2 days on our ICG list has been whether we would go so far as to question or claim that we should keep open the possibility of an IAGNA contract which would be outside of the ICANN system. Some people would feel very uncomfortable with that. Others claim that it is, as a matter of principle, also open to discussion. And by the way, as you may have guessed, I am in the second category. I think that this is the opportunity to put everything on the floor, on the table rather, and to examine all avenues without excluding any and without unnecessary self-censorship on the part of the ICG. So I presented to you just now over the past few minutes my personal overview of what was done and what needs to be done or what lies ahead. This was not the detailed account, but I refer to now to Mohammed to do that if he wishes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. This is very helpful indeed, and that certainly was a very good summary of what has happened. One quick question for you. Has the ICG worked on the issue of conflict resolution? If the different proposals do not agree with each other or clash with each other, are there procedures for the ICG to follow to find out how they will resolve this?
Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. In response to your question, this is still under discussion, but as far as I'm aware, there is no resolution yet. Several things have been discussed, and in fact, documents exchange over our ICG list over the past few days, and in fact, during the Istanbul meeting. For instance, the current conflict of interest documents or guidelines as used in ICANN and other things like that. But there is no set formula for the time being on that. I think that some people in amongst my colleagues are expecting that the chair and vice chairs will, as a matter of authority and because it's their role, manage to iron out major differences. But to answer truthfully to your question, Olivier, that is not engraved in the marble as yet. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thanks for this, Jean-Jacques. Yes, I totally understand. So now I know that Mohammed al-Bashir has joined us again and he has to leave quite soon. Perhaps let's first have him produce his feedback on the meeting, and then we'll open the floor for questions and comments from everyone. So, Mohammed, you have the floor. Mohammed al-Bashir? I could hear him a bit earlier, and now seems to have gotten muted, which is exactly the opposite of what we want. Gisela?
Olivier Gisela.
Come to the rescue. Yes, thank you.
Yes. It did sound as though he was having a side conversation, and he is unmuted, and hopefully he will hear us. Mohammed?
Okay,
Mohammed?
So let's just... Yeah. All right. It's Olivier speaking. In the absence of Mohammed at the moment, let's open the floor for questions to Jean-Jacques about his very useful report. And certainly I've learned a number of things here. And I'm glad to hear that the dynamics of the group are slowly working out and putting themselves in place, which is certainly good news. The floor is open. No questions from anyone? Okay. So I had a quick question for you, Jean-Jacques. I've done a cut and paste. I took very quick notes about the different steps which you mentioned, for the proposals, etc. And the first step, really, the first deadline is for the communities to develop proposals by the 15th of January. These, I believe, are the operational communities to develop the proposals. Is that correct? 15th of January 2015.
Yes, Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. Well, there are two things. You remember that part of our argument and what we as representatives of the at-large were negotiating was that there should not be any exclusion as to the contributions. They should come from all all sectors. Now, some in the operational community especially would argue that the formal proposal, quote-unquote proposals, should come only from them. But because of all the argumenting and the negotiating, I think it is accepted now that communities, that is to say also us, we have to send in our proposals by the 15th of January 2015.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. And from this, I understand now, because you did mention earlier the RFP for contributions of communities, so not only contributions from operational communities. That's correct, isn't it? So it doesn't.
Excuse me, I just missed something. Could you repeat that, Olivier? Could you please repeat that? I'm sorry, I just missed it.
Jean-Jacques, it's Olivier. Contributions from communities. So the RFP has been drafted for receiving contributions from communities, not just from operational communities. And you mentioned this does not exclude the ALAC, for example. Oh, is that correct?
No, it does. It does not say specifically ALAC or this or that other body. But that's the whole point. We negotiated so that there would not be any exclusion. So, as far as my understanding of it is concerned, yes, we as the ALAC should send in a proposal by 15th of January 2015 at the latest.
Okay. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Now, next, there is also the question. Looking at the list you've seen on the Adobe Connect, I'm not quite sure it says review of the draft response, and the target is the 15th of May. I believe that's a review by the NTIA of the draft response, or is that review by the ICG of the whole response? Or is
no,
that a
public
comment review?
Yes, this is Jean-Jacques. Thank you, Olivier. I think that is not just inside the ICG. That is wider. But since Mohamed is not on the call, I think we should now give him a chance to speak and ask him also to reply to this specific question. Mohamed? Mohamed?
If it does not have been working very well, so Olivia speaking.
Oh.
So we can hear Mohamed,
well,
when he doesn't speak, and now we can't hear him.
I heard him speak to his neighbors, but unfortunately I can't hear him. Waiting for Mohamed to come online, if I may, Olivier, say that looking again at this timetable, it is not absolutely definite, but I think it makes sense in this way. We took into account several factors. First of all, the reasonable time it would take for communities to react, but also towards the end, the time it would be, which would be necessary for the U.S. authorities to react. I think I heard Mohamed. Mohamed, can you come online?
This is becoming a gag, isn't it? It's Olivier speaking. in search of Mohamed El Bashir. Right. So it's not working at the moment, I'm afraid. There was a question in the over in the chat. Do we have a written document that summarizes your comments? Is there, I mean, is there going to be a written document from the ICG that will summarize it, the meeting, meeting resolutions, etc.?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. If I may here again answer whilst we're trying to connect Mohamed back. Yes, there will be, but usually it takes a few days, maybe a week, for whoever is ensuring the secretarial function just now to come out with a resume of the points agreed and the action items for the future. So we will be able to see this. This morning or yesterday, I sent to our IANA transition, etc., etc., working group mailing list, something which was circulated yesterday on the ICG list with all the documents as published. So there's the timeline, there's the RFP for the Secretariat, and all the rest. So in the same spirit, I'll send around to you the report on the meeting itself in Istanbul when that is available.
That will be great. Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. So there's a question that in the chat from
Olivier,
Mavis, go ahead,
this is Jean-Jacques. I'd like to take up Evan's point. And for those who cannot see the screen, I just read his comment briefly. I don't have voice into the call. My question to JJS is about the GAC. If there was such a push to expand the number of GAC members, but so far they have been ineffective, save one individual, this works badly for both sides. What can be done so that there is a more satisfying level of participation from governments? Very good question. So I think I answered it partly earlier on, Evan, but I'm glad to repeat this. First of all, I think that we were right as ALAC to support the call by the GAC to have an enlarged membership. And that was done. And I think that our role in calling for this solution was not negligent. The second thing is that we knew beforehand that it's always difficult for the GAC to speak with one voice simply because of its working methods. Its internal discipline is such that when they do not have consensus, they simply cannot voice a GAC opinion. So that's understandable. What I'm disappointed by is not that, because I know about that, especially as a former diplomat. What I'm disappointed at is that they have not gone to the trouble, or at least have not managed, to express a joint position on some of the questions. For instance, on the RFP for the secretarial function, on various things, we did not have a GAC position, which is quite unfortunate. And this is in no way compensated for by the fact that one of the GAC members is very present and very vocal. It's two separate things. Thank goodness we have one GAC member who is vocal. But this does not dispensate the GAC as a body to get its act together. That's what I'm actually referring to. My own judgment at this stage, at least, is that the GAC has not got its act together in the ICG. Does that answer your question, Evan? Could you just type yes or no or something?
Yeah, so there's
may I follow
so
up
a
on that?
From Evan.
Yes. Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. I saw Evan's remark. Well, I will not pass any judgment on any individual member of the ICG. I don't know about his, quote, hostility to the MSM, unquote. At least in the ICG, and that's where I'm working, I have not had the opportunity to read anything of that ilk from him.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Jacques. Let's just take a few more questions. It's Olivier speaking. I see there are two questions from Sean. The first one is, it's in the chat. It says, has it been discussed within the ICG how they intend to handle the proposal submission with the external secretariat as of today?
Without. May I correct you? That was without. Without the external secretariat as of today.
Oh, it doesn't say without here. It says with. Perhaps the question is without.
No.
Yes, you are correct, Jean-Jacques.
Yes. I can see in the chat,
without,
what Sean said was without. But this is
Jean-Jacques,
sorry. Well, I'll try to answer that. Has it been questioned, discussed within the ICG how they intend to handle the proposal submission without? Well, There is a timeline for the Secretariat, and in fact, this should go quite fast. We have about, I think it's a bit more than a week, maybe 2 weeks, to get in all the applications from candidate firms or candidates to perform the secretarial function, and we'll go on from there. By the way, what I forgot to report on is that I insisted when I saw how the choice of secretarial service was going along and how it had been formulated, I was a bit concerned, and I demanded that I be added to the group of two or three people who were self-appointed as the selection committee for the selection of the secretarial service. This was voted upon unanimously, and I am now part of that that little group. Why did I do this? Well, because I wanted to make sure that, first of all, the message about the RFP for secretarial service would go out all over the world, and second, that in the selection process it would not be restricted or slanted towards this or that nation or towards this or that type of group. There was also some concern voiced not only by myself but by colleagues on the ICG that those with vested interests, in other words, corporations represented or not on the ICG, should refrain from responding to the RFP. And now, as a new member of this selection committee, I want to make sure that all this is respected. So that was the question from Soane. I hope I have answered it. And his second question is, what is the level of discussion about how the ICG view the current ICANN accountability process? Was there any discussion in that direction? Well, accountability, this is Jean-Jacques again, accountability was touched upon many times, but not as a standalone chapter. It popped up in conversations about all sorts of things, but there is not one chapter alone about accountability, for instance, in the agenda of the meeting which took place in Istanbul. So, Soane, would you care to perhaps be more specific in your next question about that, or have I more or less answered your question? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Let's give the floor to Soane, and then I want to try Mohamed El-Bashir again. I hear that he is back online. So, Soane, Olivier.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much for the presentation. What I want to...
Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Louder, please.
You sound a little bit far.
Hello.
Yeah.
What I was trying to clarify is mainly about the process that was released. Because in South Clare, some people have been saying ICG actually should also be looking at the accountability aspect of as it relates to IANA itself. So I wanted to be sure whether it was discussed within the ICG. And on my first question, in regards to the question I asked initially. Hello? Yeah. I noticed that I'm glad that you mentioned that it's been discussed within the ICG that members of the ICG should not make comments in regards to the RFP. However, also on different mailing lists, I've observed at least Milton making some comments about the IR processes, which I'm not actually faulting whether it's positive or negative, but I'm just thinking, isn't such intervention going to be useful? And then why actually is ICG deciding not to allow its members to make comments on on the RFP. So these are the two things I'd like to like, get clarification about.
Thank you, Sean. Jean-Jacques,
Olivier, may I answer? Yes. Before doing that, I really think we should give Mohamed a chance to come in before he has to leave.
Yeah, okay. Let's get, it's Olivier speaking. Let's get Mohamed El-Bashir on there. And I note, Jean-Jacques, that you wanted the question to be typed out. You weren't quite sure. I'll put that in the chat, what I heard from Sean. Let's have Mohamed El-Bashir. Mohamed, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. And hello, everyone. Sorry for having a bad connection today. Part of the call was always flooded. I would like just to summarize maybe quickly. And I'm sure Jean-Jacques has given you that summary of the philosophy. I would just like to give my observation as well. I think we had a good, successful meeting for RCG. There were many outcomes finalized. The RFP, or the Secretary of Independent Security, the RFP is already out. And the timeline document has been published for comments. And it's already part of, already published with the RFP. And I think importantly, this is the first meeting where we're having the five GAP members present in the face-to-face meeting with RCG. And I think their participation was positive. And within the meeting, they were also contributing in the discussion. So I think it's, we are progressing ahead, and the work now is moved to the communities to start developing the proposals, working on the positions, and what they need to see on the proposals. So that's general observations in terms of the meetings. I would be happy to want any specific questions. I have chaired the first part of the meeting, and then Juan and then Patrick took over the afternoon part of the meeting. But overall, I think we had a good meeting. There were the outcomes just to enable the communities to start working on proposals and the details of the transition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohamed. It's Olivier speaking. And you mentioned the request for the proposals from the communities. I just want to make sure the operational communities, or is it expected that the ALAC would be submitting a proposal?
The text does not block interested communities submit proposals, but it's considered unlikely. ICG is not, it actually does not say anything about not allowing blocking or fine. Specifically, there is expectation that the operation communities, they are the ones who are going to submit complete or formal proposals, because they are the ones currently who have the club impacted. They are the ones who are having processes to develop the proposals. That should include in the with multi-stakeholders and other stakeholders being involved. And they are required in that. All the inputs from other interested communities are taken in consideration. So I think the expectations from ALAC, and also even in our earlier discussion about will ALAC be able to submit a complete proposal or submit a position that reflects the interests of the end users. And that could be submitting to the all communities. So that's ensure that our position is already clear in the different portals being put by the different communities, which is, I think, personally the best approach. So that's my summary in terms of nothing prohibiting ALAC to submit a full proposal, but it's not expected, and it's also lots of work as well. Best for us to focus on ensuring that our positions are already captured within the different communities. I'm not sure yet what will happen in terms of the cross-community IAN Transition Working Group. If there's a plan to submit a joint one combined proposal in that, which is ALAC, might have a better chance to participate in that if there is this approach.
Okay, thank you, Mohamed. I see that Jean-Jacques has put his hand up. Jean-Jacques Subrenon.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. But I see that Sol's hand was up before mine. Would you want to have him come in first? Or?
Yes. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I'm not sure whether Sean's hand was on the previous thread. Sean has put his hand down. So back to you, Jean-Jacques, and then we'll address Sean's questions. And if you haven't got them, I've taken note of them. So back to you, Jean-Jacques.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Well, regarding your question and Mohamed's answer, I would like to say that, yes, there is some, if not uncertainty, at least there is some ambiguity about who is really expected to contribute input, etc. But that's the understanding of the text. I think that it is our duty towards our communities to actually take the initiative. Our concern on the ICG as members of the at-large was to make sure that it was not forbidden or excluded. Now that we have obtained that, it would make no sense if the ALAC or the at-large simply let that date go by and not take that opportunity to give input. Now, it is then our duty, especially Mohammed's because he's vice chair, to make sure that our input is in fact considered at the right moment at the appropriate level. But I think we should not now go on too long skewing ourselves over the charcoals about whether we are really invited or not, only half invited to contribute input. That was my first remark, and I'll wait for your reactions on that before going to Sue's second question.
Thank you for this, Jean-Jacques. Are there any other questions or remarks on what Jean-Jacques and Mohamed have just spoken to us about? I see Avery Doria put her hand up. Avery, you have the floor. Avery, I'm afraid you're not coming through at the moment. I heard you're very distant, and it doesn't work. You seem to have connection problems today. Avery Doria, no.
Have you heard it? This
Well, if not. We can hear you very far away.
Can you type, Avery?
Never mind.
I've heard a never mind in the distance. But, never mind. Okay. Let's see if in the meantime staff can check out with Adobe or Adigo what the problem is with Avery's connection. More questions for Jean-Jacques and Mohamed. So then coming back to Sean's questions earlier, Olivia speaking, the first one was, has the ICG discussed the issue of the IANA accountability process and its link up with the IANA accountability process? I think that's what I understood from Sean's question.
Yes, this is Jean-Jacques. As I mentioned earlier, I don't remember that on the agenda for the meeting in Istanbul there was a separate topic or item about accountability. However, it did come up on several occasions in the discussion as something of interest or as a matter of fact. But there was not a position taken, as far as I can remember, not a position taken on behalf of the ICG, nor any position pronounced or called for at this stage.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Mohammed here.
That was the one. Yes, go ahead, Mohammed.
On the meeting, actually, there was a discussion about appointing the request from ICANN to appoint a liaison from ICG to ICANN Accountability Enhancement Group. And the discussion ended to the conclusion that it's very early for ICG to appoint a liaison because we are not clear yet about the relationship and the links between the accountability group work and the ICG, and the accountability group work is currently not clear to ICG. That's clear to everyone as well because it's not clear yet about the mandate, what extent of the work, what exactly required coordinated between the two groups. So the decision was that ICG would wait until there's something more about accountability work and what type of relationship will be between the two groups and if there is any link on the work. Because currently has been that it is not clear yet. So until that moment, ICG might decide. Yeah.
Thank you, Mohammed. Has there been actually a question as to whether any liaison from the ICG to the accountability coordination group would be an additional person in the ICG, or would it be one of the current members of the ICG?
The person will be a current member.
Current members, okay. Okay, thank you. I saw that Jean-Jacques Subrenat had put his hand up a little bit earlier.
Yes, thank you. This was in order to try to answer Avri's question. She said, what is the situation with the fact that other submissions will be offered? Will they be ignored? So that's the whole point, I think. The current texts in the ICG do not exclude anyone, actually. Of course, they do favor, in a way, the so-called operational communities, but after a lot of haggling, no one is excluded. So I think now it's really up to the communities. It is an ambiguity. I think people are aware of that in the ICG, and that's now up to the communities to make the most of it. That's why I said a few minutes ago that whatever way we interpret the current writing, never mind. Let's just go ahead, since we know that it's not forbidden, then we just have to go ahead and give our input by the prescribed date.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I note another question.
Thank
from
you.
Here. Oh, we can hear you, Avery, now. We can hear you very well. Do you want to ask your other question? Avery Doria? For a second, we could hear Avery.
Yeah, no, basically, it's the same question. I just typed it in, not knowing whether the first question had been understood. Thanks for the reply.
Okay, thank you, Avery. So, you're very loud now, but at least we could hear you, which was good. It's Olivia speaking.
The problem was the microphone hadn't been in front of my mouth.
Ah, that's the always more helpful when it is close to one's mouth. So the next thing we need to do, I guess, is to move on into our agenda. Just responding to Sharon's question, there was a second question, which I think I decrypted from what he had said, which was, are members of the ICG able to take part in the proposals submitted to the ICG themselves? In other words, would a member of the ICG, like you, for example, Jean-Jacques, be able to take part in the discussion and draft part of the proposal of the ICANN accountability part of things, let's say, accountability part with regards to the names and addresses? Was the discussion
thank you,
that?
Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. At least in my presence, nothing has been said which would indicate that any ICG member would be excluded. Now, there may be things afoot of which I am not party. For instance, members of the so-called operational communities may consider that they're the only competent ones and they know all the right words and all that, and maybe they'll start drafting stuff even upstream. But as far as I can make out, every member of the ICG will be able to, in fact, in my opinion, should take part in vetting the community input from all the communities. It'll be a lot of work. There will probably be some task allocation because not everyone will be able to follow everything. But it should remain an open process so that every member of the ICG should, at his or her request, be able to see every incoming input or contribution. That's a matter of principle for me, and until I'm shot out of the sky, that's what I'll do.
Jean-Jacques Olivier, I think that the... So thank you for your answer, but I was the question is slightly different. Would a member of the ICG be able to be the pen holder for a proposal that comes into the ICG? I think that was the gist of the question.
Okay. Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Well, since the inception of the ICG, there has been a discussion about vocabulary. In other words, is the ICG the actual proposer, or is it just a facilitator? In other words, the argument was about, is it up to the ICG to actually draft a sort of first draft of the what will become the proposal or the plan for transition, or do we have to wait for all the input to come in, and then starting with that, the ICG will start drafting. So I think that now my understanding of it, and in fact it's been discussed for several weeks now, is that we will await for input to come in and we will start with that. So yes, there will be a possibility for various ICG members who are willing and capable to work on the basis of the input which has been which will have been received. Does that answer your question, Olivier?
Yes, thank you, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Partly, and I do realize, I guess, I'm just probably growing up in a direction which we don't really need to go into. But it's just to find out whether it had been discussed. If a member of the ICG is going to be involved in the proposal of their community, and is going to be drafting something in there. But of course, knowing fully well that it's very difficult, or it would be very difficult to find that out anyway, if that person decides to just channel the input via someone else. Anyway, it's no big deal. And I think that we need to move on then now to the next part of our call. So I thank you both for your update on the ICG. And we'll go into the next part of our call, which is a quick roundup of the cross-community working group charter drafting team follow-up. As ALAC members on this call will have noticed, there was a vote that took place. I'm going to ask staff to quickly swap the document that's on the Adobe Connect so you can have a look at the results of the vote. So there was a drafting team that put together a cross-community working group it's the charter for the cross-community working group to develop an INS stewardship transition proposal. So that really is the ICANN part of the cross-community working group that will be providing the input and the proposal on the names part of the INS stewardship, of the INS contracts. The first vote was as follows. Should the charter for a cross-community working group to develop an INS stewardship transition proposal on naming related functions developed by the CWD charter design team be accepted? The advice from the At-Large Ad Hoc Committee on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INS function, this very committee, was to accept the charter. And so with 13 votes in favor, this charter was accepted. But then there were two amendments. One was an amendment from the FSAC, which asked for the words "for the root zone" to be added at the end of item 4 in this section titled Scope, and that was meant to improve clarity. Again, that amendment was supported by the ALAC with 13 votes in favor. And then finally, a second amendment, a proposed amendment by the ALAC to add at the end of section 2 the following text: the issues related to ensuring INS viability and effectiveness are also within scope of the CWG. Such issues could include, but are not limited to, charging structure or the lack thereof and languages that IANA can function in. And so that is a proposed amendment by the ALAC, which was ratified by the ALAC, so it's 13 votes in favor on this. And therefore, as next steps, I shall be writing to the draft working group or the process that deals with this charter drafting, and I will be providing the details of our votes. So I think that we are one of the first supporting organization and advisory committees that are moving forward with this charter. I for sure think that the SAC amendment has already been accepted by the majority of people in the discussion. I don't know whether the ALAC amendment will be agreed, but at least the vote gives it more weight. Any questions or comments on this process? I see Tijani Benjamin has his hand up. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. It's nothing a comment on the vote. It's clear. The vote is clear. It's the unanimity of the people who voted, so it's clear the vote. But I wanted to say that regarding the cross-community working group on the IANA transition, the call for membership is already open, and we need to nominate 5 people from ALAC to be on this cross-community working group, and we have to do it now. Also, we have to propose observers, because observers are allowed too, and we can propose observers from our community, either if they are in the structures of the at large, or even if they are not in the structures. So, two things: we have to nominate our members, the official members, and also we have to propose observers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Tijani. I think let's follow up by email on this, because I was not personally aware that we had to move forward with nominating members and propose people on this. As you know, we went through an external process to select our representatives on the ICG.
I know.
I have a feeling it's a bit of a heavy process to start nominating members to go on this cross-community working group, and certainly it might be a good idea for this group here to just nominate members. You mentioned, is it 5 members? And
yes.
How many observers? Any number of observers, really?
No, it's not a problem. The observers can be, there are not a limitation for the observers. But the members,
sure, okay.
For the members, we have to nominate 5 only.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Please follow up on the mailing list, and so we'll be able to do that by next week.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Avery Doria.
Hi, this is Avery. Hopefully I can be heard, and I'm not too loud. Hopefully I got it just right. I just wanted to let you know that its last council meeting, the GNS Council did approve the charter. It approved the ESSAC change. It did not, though, approve the ALAC change, because the ALAC change had not been put in the text that we were voting on. So it would have been complicated, and we just wanted to approve. We also had understood that text hadn't necessarily been put forward by others, so it's probably going to be, at least for the GNSL Council, an amendment that we'll have to make to bring everybody's charters into line. I don't see an issue with it except for process. What the GNSO has started doing already is having the SGs come up with the name of their representative and just saying, you know, observership was open. I don't know whether this group or whomever within ALAC at large wants to consider having each of the Rallos pick someone or something like that. That was in part the intent, I thought, of, you know, having a sufficient number so that were the at-large to want to do that, it would be able to. But certainly no forcing of doing that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Avery. That's very helpful. It's Olivier speaking. I think I totally agree with you on this. Certainly the group that we should send to this, since we have 5 representatives, I would fully support having at least one from each RALO. What I would then, though, say is that the source of these appointees should really come from our own working group here. I don't see any sense in having people appointed from outside this working group into the accountability process, where we are the people that are mostly dealing with this topic. Tijani.
Yes, Olivier, thank you. Tijani speaking. It was intended to have 5 as a number because of the 5 regions. So because there was another proposal during the drafting of 7 people, but I was one of people who said 5 is better because we have 5 regions. So it was intended.
Okay, that's perfect. Thanks very much, Tijani. So we have a list of our membership that is currently on our working groups homepage, the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INF function. And I'm going to ask for a consensus call on this call then, that we proceed forward with asking the RALOs to appoint their the one person as taken from the list of members on this working group. Does this make sense? Or does anyone have comments on this? Or would anybody actually oppose this? I can think of reasons why this could be opposed as well. So, Avery Doria, you have the floor.
I obviously don't oppose it, but out of curiosity, is there a member of every RALO in this group? I haven't looked at the list. And you may also want to allow people to enroll for this before the RALO makes a notice. So you may want to do something slightly more general, as we are doing this, the RALOs will do that, you know, you still have a chance to sign up for the group. Don't know if you want to do that, but it's a thought.
Thank you very much, Avery. On the page, which is on, it's Olivier speaking, on the page which is on the Adobe Connect or shown in the chat. I see, I think they're 23, or is it 33? 1, 2, 3. I think it's 22 or 23 people. I've just made a very quick count. The Raylo, which is the most poorly represented, is Uralo, with only 2 members. But all of the other Raylos have more than 1 member. I note Afralo has 2. Apiralo has a large number of people. Lacralo has 4. And Naralo has a large number of people as well. So it looks like every region is there, and I note that, yes, so that's fine. Any other comments on this? Now, just a few days ago, there was a call for more people. I sent a note to the ALAC list, and I think to the at-large list as well, pleading for more people to be interested in this topic, because we now have this need to fill spaces on the working group, but also we need to fill spaces on some of the other working groups. Certainly, we should have people in the RIR discussion list. We should have people in the IETF discussion list about the topic. If we want to be involved at the generation level of those proposals, we need people there as soon as we can and as early as we can. The problem is it's a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of parallel threads to follow. At the moment, we have some people following some threads, but they are the only point of contact. And I would certainly feel a lot more confident that we are able and we are functional by having at least 2 or 3 people on each list. Who can monitor the list and who can even contribute as a general contributor to these lists. Bearing in mind that whilst on the ICANN list, we can operate as members of this working group and therefore make it known that we are of the at-large community. On the RIR mailing list and on the IETF mailing list, people generally contribute as individuals, so we would all be individuals on these lists and therefore not be saying that we relay the ALAC opinion. And in fact, there are questions as to whether the ALAC would be able to relay and participate as the ALAC into these external lists. It might fall outside our mandate, so let's not even go in that direction. Okay, so seeing no objections from this, Let's have an action item then that we will, so I as the chair of this working group will be emailing the RALO leaders to appoint people to this working group. Actually, first step is for staff to make sure that with any new arrivals, that list which we have on our working groups page is up to date. If that's the case, then we have to then ask the, so then I will have to email the RALO leaders, send us them 4 nominations of 1 person from the RALO to be on that cross-community working group. And then, of course, with regards to the observers, I think we can just do it as an internal thing where we can just draw up a list of all of the people who would like to be observers on that cross-community working group. And I can imagine the majority of us will probably want to be there as observers as well. Evan asks, what is outside our mandate? So just briefly, and that actually ties into the next steps, some believe that with the ALAC, going into other fora outside of ICANN and commenting on things as the ALAC is outside our mandate. The At-Large Advisory Committee comments on ICANN-related processes and on ICANN, and only on a very few occasions, I think only on 1 occasion when it was due to the actual IANA contract, would you believe it, did the ALAC actually submit an official response outside of the ICANN sphere. of the immediate ICANN sphere. And certainly the coffee that Fadi serves in the cafeteria is arguably, for some people outside our mandate, although we have commented in the past about the coffee. So, well, more than the coffee, about accommodation altogether. So, anyway, without any further ado, let's move on to the next thing. And the next part of our agenda is the next steps. We've just actually already spoken about the updates on the RIR and IETF mailing list activity. And so I'd be interested in finding out from people who are on the call and who have been monitoring the discussions on other channels, how the discussion is moving forward. If you look at our homepage, you will find, scrolling further down, the different mailing lists that are there. There's an ICANN-wide discussion. There is an IAB discussion within the IETF. There is an Internet Society discussion taking place. And then there are five lists at the moment for each one of the RIRs. There's an AFRINIC INA oversight. There's an APNIC INA oversight. ARIN PPML for the time being, so that's the public policy mailing list. And then there is an Internet Governance INA oversight in LACNIC, and also INA oversight list on RIPE, which has just started and which was just added yesterday. Let's see if we first start with the LACRALO discussions. The ICANN-wide discussion, not LACRALO, the ICANN-wide discussion at the moment is seen as being followed just by Alberto Soto. Can we have other volunteers for this, please? Who else, in fact? Let's do a show of hands. Who else is on that mailing list and follows that mailing list? Maybe we can just add this. No, let's start again. So the IANA-wide discussion, that's the first thing in our in the table that's currently on the Adobe Connect. ICANN-wide discussion, it's called IANA Transition at ICANN.org. Who currently is on that mailing list? I don't see anyone put their hand up. Okay, I see Cheryl and Denor is on it. So let's have anyone who wishes to be, who is on there, please put a green tick. Anyone who wishes to go and to be subscribed to that mailing list and to be listed as being part of that mailing list, please put a red cross. I see Fatima Cambronero has put her hand up. Fatima, you have the floor. Okay, I'm not seeing any of this. So Fatima is just saying that she is on that mailing list, so on the ICANN-wide discussion. So at the moment, we've got Cheryl and Fatima on the ICANN-wide discussion. Could I have a volunteer, another volunteer for this, please? And Jean-Jacques Subrenat, you have the floor in the meantime. You might be muted, Jean-Jacques.
Indeed. Is this better?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Hello? Right. Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Yes, whilst we're waiting for colleagues to pop up on the list, I'd like to make a remark and a suggestion. The remark is that, seen from the ICG where Mohammed and I are working, it would not be very useful. In fact, it would be quite time-consuming to follow the lists and also even what our representatives who are following each of those lists have to say. It would be too detailed. So I'd like to suggest that, in fact, the place where all this can come together is, in fact, the ad hoc working group where we are meeting just now. And in a way, it would be nice if that could be brought together by staff, for instance, who would make a weekly resume of input from our various members on these lists, for instance, Alberto Soto for Lacralo, etc., to send to staff in a very resume style that staff would make available to us just before each meeting, maybe the day before the meeting of our ad hoc working group, would say, for instance, from Alberto or from Avri, etc., regarding this list, there are only 2 points which have been discussed and which are interesting. One is this, and two is this. And then when we come to our next working group meeting, so Mohammed and I already know about that. Maybe we have questions, maybe we have suggestions. In that way, we'd get the thing rolling rather than just passively following the various lists. I hope I made myself understood. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking, and you've read my mind as to the next steps on this. The reason why I'm hoping we can populate each one of these lists is that before each one of our weekly calls, the people on that are people that are on each one of these lists would be able to submit a, let's say, 5 lines on what they've been up to or what's been happening on that list, and maybe raise the points that are important, and for this committee here, this coordinate, this working group, to then decide on which way to go. Because as you absolutely are absolutely correct, there are so many lists here. We've got 5, we've got 8 lists in parallel, plus the one that is, of course, going to be the cross-community working group on INS stewardship transition. That's going to be 9 lists in parallel. We really need to share the load here and have summaries being drafted. Having a single point of contact, though, in these lists, I think is a bit of a burden, since, of course, there might be cases of people not being able to make it to one of our calls. In the case, for example, today, Alberto Soto was not able to make it to the call. So with Alberto being the single point of contact for at least 2 of these mailing lists at the moment, it's very difficult to get any kind of feedback as to what's been happening on these 2 mailing lists. Hence, if we have 3 people, that will always ensure someone will be able to speak to us. I take your note about drafting a few words before. Definitely a good idea to have a few words as to what's been happening. I don't think that staff will be able to do anything as far as drafting was concerned. The most they could do would be to take the input from the different people and put them in one document as in a cut and paste, but not more than that. And I know that people are saying here they don't have time to do this. I'm not quite sure what the not time to do this is. Jean-Jacques?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Well, fine. I mean, if the best we can do is cut and paste, no problem. That's better than nothing, sure.
Okay. I'm not sure. I might be reading the Cheryl's notes out of context. She might have said, I count me out of that earlier. Cheryl Lingdenor, you have the floor. And you might be muted because I'm not able to hear you at the moment.
Right, is that better?
Ah, that's a lot better.
Yes, I was muted. I'm just saying, I'm in a vast number of working groups and a lot of committees, and with attending these weekly meetings, I'm keeping a watching brief and finding out what our representatives are doing on our behalf. was talking to Narelle because of the association of what she's doing for ISOC on exactly this topic today, you know, at 7 p.m. local time. So it's not my plan to feed in. I'm not going to contribute to a weekly report. I am spread too thin for that. So count me out of that. I will stay as a watching brief, but I'm not going to be a sub-unit reporting into these weekly meetings. It just won't happen, so it's not worthwhile listing me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl, for this. Any other comments on that? Really, the difficulty for us is to be able to coordinate in between all of the different lists as to what is going on and to allocate, to basically get us to start focusing maybe on some of the work. And so we're not only going to be dealing with things at the top level, as in we're wait for the input from those operational communities to come in and then comment on it, but we're actually active in the making up, in the drafting of those proposals. Jean-Jacques Dubois.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. I want to make sure that I was not misunderstood. I'm not sort some sort of control freak who's suggesting that everything should be reported on and you know, little slips of paper passed around and all that. That's not at all the idea I was fielding. It's more coming back to the initial idea. Why did I suggest that we call for volunteers to follow these lists and that names be given so that at least we know who is following what list? Well, from the point of view of someone who is in the ICG, frankly, the important thing is to be able to be told, if possible, in advance, oh, there's something which is going to explode or pop up in the this or that community, because suddenly they are having mumps about, I don't know what, you know, accountability in the ICG or something. And so it's a sort of early warning system I was advocating, and it's not some complete reporting. It's just to say, if and when you do something which is interesting or of concern to any one of you, just to let us know. But rather than writing directly to Mohammed or me, I was suggesting that it go through this working group on whose meeting we are just now, which is presided over very ably by Olivier. And he, with you, would decide whether that is of sufficient concern to be signaled to Mohammed and I, and me, or not. Now, that's all. I was not suggesting that we set up some sort of another level of administrative junk. It was just to have an early warning system, both for good ideas and for dangerous things which might pop up. Thanks.
Thank you for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. I note that both Avery and Cheryl have said they will sound the alarm if they see something alarming. Since we are running out of time, I believe that we are, what we can do then, I'll just remind you all to go on to the working group's homepage. And here's the working group's homepage again. I think that's the one that works. Go on the working group's homepage and type in your details if you are on one of the mailing lists, because at the moment we've got single point of presence. Oh, I see some people have now put their names up. Certainly Avery's name has popped up everywhere. Avery is on all the lists. Okay, there's someone who likes emails. So, and I have noticed, by the way, Avery, because I have seen you take part in some of the battles already on some of those mailing lists. So well done. And staying in the corner in a cowardly way, not saying anything at the moment, but who knows, I might wake up at some point. Ladies and gentlemen, we are reaching the end of this call. The last item on the agenda was to discuss briefly whether how this community here is going to work with regards to proposals. Creation of ALAC input, and are we going to be coming up with a proposal. This is something we need to think about now. You've seen that the deadline for the proposals is in January. And so if we are going to draft a proposal, then we need to first focus on what topic, what, etc. And therefore, I would open the floor here for a couple of minutes, and we'll probably have to spend more time on this during the next call that we'll have next week. Jean-Jacques Subrena.
Thank you, Olivier. Yes, I think we should remember what the general calendar looks like now. ICANN 51 in Los Angeles will be from the 12th to the 16th of October. The ICG meeting will be on the 17th of October, meaning just after ICANN 51. But before that, we will probably have one other ICG meeting just as a telephone conference, and two dates are being discussed for that. One of them could be around the 18th of September. So it's just for you to keep that in mind, that we will have to adapt to all this. Now, I don't think that your last question, Olivier, needs to be responded to immediately. I think that we should give ourselves some time to assess where the whole train is moving and how it is moving, with what passengers, etc. So as we will all have the opportunity of being in Los Angeles and of seeing how it unfolds, I think that towards the end of the at-large meetings in Los Angeles, then we should structure our own contribution and make our own timeline. I think that there will also be one other event in ICANN 51 which may be of interest to all of us, which is that there will be a public presentation of the ICG work by its members, I suppose chair, vice chair, and perhaps a few others. And that will be in a public session during ICANN 51. So there you will be able to put questions as well. And I suggest that after all that input, then in the summing up or in the concluding session of the ALAC, then we should really set up the timeline and an action plan or a way forward for the at-large contribution to the ICG transition plan. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. And Saf and I have been working on the London agendas. We are looking at two different things. I mean, first, the wrap-up is going to be very, very stretched because ICANN is now having making use of Thursday as being a day for lots of public discussions. And so our usual Thursday is going to be crunched, just like it was in London. However, we have worked on two things. One, having this working group meet in a face-to-face meeting in London. I believe it is for 90 minutes. Gisela, could you please confirm?
Olivier Giesler here. Yes, I can confirm it is 90 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Gisela. So that would be one thing. And the other meeting is we're trying to find out if we could actually have, as the ALAC, a meeting with the ICG, which would certainly be interesting, I think, for all parties. And this is where I need to send the ICG a request for this. And of course, I would copy you on that. Jean-Jacques, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. That was discussed briefly in the Istanbul meeting, and the majority feeling was that it was a bit contradictory to have separate meetings with members of communities who are in fact already represented in the ICG, and that's certainly the case of the GAC, and it's certainly the case of the ALAC. So there was, in fact, even a sense of puzzlement that such a request could even pop up, because then the next question was, oh, but don't you keep in touch with your community as a member of the ICG? Of course we do, but that's how it was felt. So I think that the general feeling today in the ICG is that we could do something, in fact, we will be doing something collectively, and that is the public session using the public space in Ken 51, responding to everyone. And at this stage, that's about it. However, we are leaving it open for the time being, and also leaving it open for contact with communities which maybe are not represented in the ICG. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. And it, the reason for this suggestion was actually a discussion that I had with the chair of the ICG and several members of the ICG in Istanbul, and they suggested that. And so my response was, oh, that would be an excellent idea. So thank you for providing us with the further details that at the end of the day that it was decided that this would not be happening. One last question then is to do with the session which you just alluded to. I was going to ask Gisela, since she is aware of all of the schedules, is this currently tabled anywhere, a session of the ICG with the community? Would that be happening on the Monday perhaps?
Olivier Giesler here. I believe it is scheduled, and off the top of my head, I was going to say on the Thursday morning, just bear with me. Community discussion with the ICG is scheduled for 90 minutes on Thursday morning from 10:30 to 12.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So then, Jean-Jacques, that would mean that we would have our working group meeting before that community discussion, but unfortunately, due to the scheduling, we would have absolutely no chance of having our working group meeting afterwards, or having the ALAC even discuss the findings of that public session before the end of the ICANN meeting, unfortunately.
Yes, Olivier, this is Jean-Jacques. A quick remark on that. I was not suggesting that the input from any one of the meetings in the course or in the margins of ICANN 51 would be decisive. I was simply suggesting that because of the time flow, instead of making the decision right now as to how and with what timeline we want to create the ALAC input for the ICG plan, I was simply saying that we should make the most of ICANN 51, including the session I just signaled, which Gisela has kindly pointed out as being on the Thursday, and so that you as chair or your successor as chair of the ALAC should then, in the concluding remarks, either decide, or if it's not possible for you, then at least to suggest that this is an important point which has to be taken up in the very first meeting after Los Angeles.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Jacques. That's noted, and I will proceed with this, and no doubt Alan will be present at the time, Alan Greenberg, who seems to be probably our next day lecturer, so he'll be able to pick up the ball at that point. Now, we are reaching the end of this call. We are 8 minutes beyond the end. I was just going to add a couple of things as to my activities in Istanbul. I met up with Paul Wilson of APNIC and had an extensive discussion on the RIR, Regional Internet Registry, specifically looking at the accountability side of things. And you will have seen an email, a recent email, onto the list pointing you all to the current process where the RIRs have been reviewing their accountability mechanism. I also had meetings with Alisa Cooper, the chair of the
ICG, of course, with Mohammed al-Bashir. In fact, on several occasions, I spoke to Mohammed and closely coordinated with him. Also with Liz Centamore, who is now with the IAB, I believe, plus with Yari Arco, the chair of the IETF. And we discussed the accountability side of the proposal of the IETF that they will be coming forward. And of course, both Paul Wilson and the others from the ICF have said they absolutely welcome input from at-large participants to come and be active in the working groups that will develop those proposals. So this is an open process, and I was very happy to hear that there was absolutely no concern about people from at-large to take part as individuals in those processes. Just quickly, my feedback on the process is I also had a meeting with let's see who else, with Sally Wentworth from ISOC on these issues and coordinating on that. Cheryl Langdonor, and then we'll have to close afterwards. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Throughout all of next week, including during this time slot, conveniently at now 2:15 in the morning, I will be attending the APNIC, ATTLD and AT STAR meeting in Brisbane, so it may be that I have a little more input based on any conversations and interactions with that community that go on relating to this topic next week. That's all. Thanks, Olivia.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. That's very helpful indeed. And I'm sure that topic is going to figure quite highly on the list of topics.
We do actually have other things, not just this, on the agenda, of course.
Trust me, the IGF had a lot of other things as well, but this thing came up again and again as a recurring discussion. So
yeah. Yes.
A lot of people are getting up in a frenzy. Oh, I forgot to mention, I also had a meeting with Fiona Alexander and with Larry Strickling, the people who are the source of this whole thing, who drafted the letter from the U.S. Department of Commerce. It was good to obtain clarification from them. And just to let you know, Fiona and Larry and the department, it has not just thrown this out there into the wild. They are watching what's going on out there, and they would be ready to step in if they saw anything that went totally off the rails and did not actually make sense. Because ultimately, they reminded everyone in a public session that ultimately the proposal will have to satisfy NTIA.
Okay.
And if it doesn't satisfy NTIA, they're ready to throw it back in our face and say, try again. So it's better to get an early warning from them as well in case things start going in the wrong direction.
Oh,
ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen, I'm sorry, it is, as Cheryl mentioned, 2:15 a.m. in Australia, and certainly also 15 minutes past the top of the hour elsewhere in the world. This call has been very helpful. Thanks for attending. Next call, as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the our next step, and we're going to be preparing for our meeting our face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles so that we actually make good use of that face-to-face 90 minutes. And with this, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This call is adjourned. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.